sing the chorus to that? Do all of you know what that was? Trust and obey, right? You know it. Let's sing the chorus, please.
Trust and obey.
Don't have that joy, come see me after church. We'll talk about it, okay? All right, welcome. It's a beautiful, crisp spring day out there, and we're here. We didn't blow away last night, so we're a lot to be thankful for. And anybody that has free time and loves outdoor exercise, come see me after church because I need a whole bunch of limbs picked up. Okay. Announcements. Bob?
Oh, it's on the back of your brochure about Love Beach tonight, 6 o'clock. We welcome each and every one. And we will need help after church here to reset the tables and get them prepared and put the eating ware on them and everything. So we'd appreciate it if you stay around 6 o'clock tonight.
Tell me what time do you want help to start to show up?
Well, we'll set up the tables and stuff right after church here today.
No problem.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. But anybody can stay and lend a hand, we definitely appreciate it. And while I'm talking about that, is that, I don't know, anybody here that I didn't get a number on for Love Feast?
I think I said I'll be
here. Yeah.
She may be here.
She'll be here. She can sit beside me. She'll be here. She's going to step beside me.
That's great. That's wonderful. I think I got it pretty well managed out here, anyhow. And then, today is birthday Sunday.
Right. And I think we forgot birthday treats, didn't we?
There's birthday treats back here.
Oh, is it?
Help yourself to a couple of others, let me.
Okay, all right. Cause see
it. You're good. I was going to say the treats are back here.
Because I always forget my Sunday, and then I have to bring it the next Sunday.
But anyhow, hope to see you tonight, and if you can stick around for a bit to help us rearrange tables and set up the eating ware, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
And you know, don't worry about, you come to the Lord as you are. We all are getting older. You can't get up and down and whatever, so please don't let that stop you from coming to the Lord's table and just having that sweet fellowship with your brothers and sisters and with our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Did you notice the flowers are in the window for Easter? And there's memory cards by each one of those. If you'd like to donate some money toward the other one, for one of the flowers, please see me or Wanda. And if you notice the menu, the memory cards, Kelly did those up this year, and she really did a good job. So, yeah. So thank her when you see her.
Yes, thank Kelly. She, if you just saw how, if you just get time, I know it's hard to get up and down the steps, and just go down and see what time she put into making the social room invitable for the kids, and then the lesson, and all that. We really have to, you know, make sure we give her praise for what she's doing.
Bless
for the
her
bless her. Right. Right. You got it. I had the wrong word. Bless. Okay. Others.
Well, we had mentioned birthdays. Our second son, Terry, his birthday is today. He turns 59. So, you know, if he turns 59, our second son, I am old.
Amen. Hey, you know what? We had an April Fool's baby in the congregation.
What's that?
We have an April Fool's baby in the congregation. Mr. Steve, he had a birthday yesterday. We didn't sing that song.
We had one here yesterday.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right.
Happy birthday.
I was thinking hers was today, but I got the date. But I sent the cards together. But anyway, let's sing that song, Happy Birthday.
Sure. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Anybody else?
Birthdays today.
Wilkins? Okay.
Wilkins, yes.
Steve retired. He's retired. Officially retired.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Congratulations.
He's re-entired. Any others?
Just a reminder about the sunrise service next Sunday. We'll meet here at 6 a.m. We'll have the service depending on the weather. Inside and out, and Brother Sam's going to be with us, and Sister Jackie, and there's also refreshments afterwards, and I think that's, everybody brings pastries.
Yeah, pastries and some type of a coffee cake or something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Plus, your mom hopefully will make coffee, and between Debbie and I, we'll have the hot chocolate.
Okay.
Or chocolate milk, whatever.
Oh, it's got to be hot chocolate with whipped cream.
Oh, well,
my.
I got that on the list. Now, just if I remember to take the list to the store.
The marshmallows also.
Oh, marshmallows? Yeah. Here's the marshmallow either. Okay. What else, Wanda?
And don't forget the spaghetti dinner. We do need cakes for the dessert, so any of you ladies that like to bake cakes, we'll need that for that, and plus the silent auction.
Yes.
Kelly said she'll put a sauna for this back here. She wants to get an idea of how many are doing things.
Oh, okay. Is the sign up sheet back there?
Well, I think she said she'd try to put it up before she left today.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Is that all? Okay. Now, call to worship comes from Psalms 31, verses 9 through 16. Follow along, because sometimes I make mistakes. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am reproached among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I see you are my God, for my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon me, your servant. Save me from your mercy's sake, for your mercy's sake. May we bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the many blessings you give us, Father. And as this psalm starts out, it's sad. It causes our hearts to grieve, but at the end we have the magic words that says, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. Oh Father, where will we be without you? You are all things to us. Father, we just thank you for being there for us. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the gift of your Son, that saving grace, that precious blood. Father, we just thank you for all, and we just ask that you all each day be with us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Hymn number 203. Jerry, I like the cross.
Please stand for it.
Thank you.
times I sit back there and see how everything goes into place. We had the hymn, Trust and Obey. Then we had the scripture, and I'm sure that you and Karen didn't get together on the scripture, and it has in there about trust. And then the first psalm he picks is at Calvary, and I was going to suggest, I have a little pamphlet that was sent to me this week by a dear friend, and it says, have you ever been to Calvary? Now, there's some, unfortunately, I'm not one of them that have been to the Holy Land. You've been there and seen where the cross and the crucifixion and all that took place, but have you personally been to Calvary? I'm not going to go through all this, but I just wanted to read a couple things out of it. If you want to read it later, you can pass it on, I'll pass it on, but it says, the question is not, have you ever been to the Holy Land? Multitudes have traveled to the traditional site of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but I wonder how many have understood its significance. I invite you to take in the wonders of Calvary as you keep reading. And he has scripture here, different scriptures throughout. But then the back part I thought was, it got me too. It says, dear friend, now that you know what Calvary is all about, let me ask you again, have you truly been there? Think about that. What suffering he did on the cross for us. He who had no sin. And just think, he left the riches and glories of heaven to come down here and walk on this old earth and go through all he went. With that in mind, when Easter comes, think about this. It is a humbling thing to come in repentance to the foot of the cross, confessing that Jesus laid down his life and endured the wrath of God because of your sins. If you have never experienced the blessing of Calvary by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, there is still room at the cross for you. How many of us are willing to come and kneel at the cross? He hung on the cross for us. So this Easter season, please, out of all the thrills and the beauty of things and homes and this and that and the goodies, center yourself on Jesus. Center yourself on the cross. Let us each one take a trip to Calvary this week. Okay. Now, may we bow our heads for the blessing of the offering box. Father, we just thank you once again that you brought us safely through another week. And we just want you to add a special blessing to those that have brought their gifts and they put in the love offering box. Father, would you please bless the gift as you bless the giver. Father, and as always, help us to be good stewards of those gifts that we work in your name and in, for you. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Okay, shares, joys, and concerns. Maxine.
My sister Deb is up this weekend. She's going back tomorrow, so Calvary horses for her. She's coming back next weekend with some of her friends, which I'm kind of relieved because that'll help with the driving. And my sister is declining every week. I mean, her neck is really swelling. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch, and she has a hard time eating and practically not eating anything now.
Ricky once he announced, thank you for all the cards and prayers.
day to have you back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And and Debbie, for she's going for test tomorrow. The whole family.
Yeah. Young to older. Because
yeah.
We all need to keep Travis in prayers constantly. Travis has many battles for such a young fella, so let's keep him in our prayers. Frank?
Yeah, I don't want to keep all those that's been having physical problems and situations in our congregation as well as over the whole world. Brother Ralph's here, not here today, so he hope that he's not feeling the best. And of course, I want to keep those that have been going through all the issues and the problems. Pat? Wilton and Dars and so forth. We also want to remember those that have been stricken with the hurricanes and the tornadoes and so forth. You see it on television, it's very devastating. We just pray, Father, that you comfort them and help them to get things back in order. And also over in Ukraine and Russia and all the other countries that might have some issue. Matter of fact, I think even Israel is having an issue right at this time. So we just pray, Father, that you bring peace, love, and harmony.
Yes, indeed. Bob?
Safe last night because that wind did grip.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell for sure, but I think I lost a couple of chains.
Like I said, I have a lot of limbs.
Yeah, my shingles are getting old and just like me, and we don't hang around too long.
Literally.
But anyhow, the other joy is always for Sam and Jackie to be with us in the ministry of Decamp. The friendship and the love that we all share with them.
Thank you. Keep my continued zest.
Others? Bradley? Keep Ronnie Anders, he's still waiting back on a second opinion for his health concern, and Alice is George. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord however you can do so. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be able to come into your house, to worship you, to honor you, to give you praise for all the answered prayers that you've given, for all the blessings, and for most of all, your son that has went upon that old cross so that his blood could cover us, sinners that we be. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of coming safely through an evening of high winds. We thank you that minimal damage, such as shingles and limbs down, they don't mean anything, Father. Not when it compares to a life. And Father, we just thank you for that safety that you give us. We thank you for walking the walk with us each and every day. Father, now the list is long. We first want to lift up the prayer book to you, Father. There's many names listed and a lot of unspoken requests. Father, we just lift up unspoken requests to you today. And there's names of precious families in here today that need a blessing. We just ask that you be with each and every one of those families, that you would hear their prayers and hear their concerns, and that you would work in the midst. Father, we lift up the church directory to you. Many names in there. Many. Father, we just ask that somehow that there would be the Holy Spirit would ignite a flame inside of each one, that they would, it would turn into a burning desire to come back into your house, to bring their love, to bring their praise to you, Father, and to worship with their brothers and sisters, and to serve you, Father. Father, we just lift up those that have still school-aged children at home. Father, put it upon their hearts to know that their children need to know your truths and your ways. For when they go out into the world, they'll be like little sheep, and they can be led astray easily. Father, we understand that. So, Father, we just ask that you work upon that prayer request. Father, we want to lift up to you this morning. We want to lift up to you Ron and George and Traveling Mercies for Death and Irene. Father, be with her. Keep your hand upon her. And Father, do not let her suffer a long, drawn-out battle. Take your child home. But we know that it will be your will, so but we just put that request to you. Father, we think of Miss Sarah, 101, a passing all. Please be with their family. Give them comfort. Flood their mind with sweet and precious memories so that they don't feel so alone and so sad. For sweet memories, they bring a smile to each of our faces when we think back of our loved ones. Father, we think of the Baker family. We think of Deb and her tests. And we think of Rick and Darlene and Jigs, that you have worked in a mighty way and that you've kept your healing hand upon them. We thank you for that. We ask that you be with Travis, Father, a young soul that is tormented with so much. Father, we just ask that you would touch him in a mighty way, just as the lady in the crowd touched Jesus' garment and she had the faith so strong that just the touch of the garment healed her. Father, we think of Ralph and Pat, Bob and Linda, and Wilton, Father. Be with him. Subside some of his symptoms so that he can at least have some form of comfort and joy with his family. Father, we think of Miss Doris, who's back amongst us. But you can't keep a good lady down, Father. We just thank you for that blessing. We think of Jerry's list. We think of the natural disasters that are around us, Father. Many states are trying to rebuild from earthquakes and floods, tornadoes. Father, we just ask that you would give each community a strong desire to work together to rebuild for those that have lost their homes and comforting arms for those that have lost their loved ones. Father, we think of our world today. If we would just, if we would think on it so much, we would be sad all the time, Father. But we've got to realize that you are in control, Father, and there's nothing that gets by you that you don't allow. So we just ask you to help us to have the strong faith in you to get us through this. Father, we think of our school systems. Oh, Father, all of our leadership, whether it be government, educational, spiritual, we just ask that you would be in the midst, that and we pray that they would turn back to you before it's eternally too late, that they would come before you to ask you to guide them, direct them. Father, we think of the joy of family, having family gatherings. Oh, that's sweet. however sweet that is, just think of the joy that will be when we gather in heaven that day. Oh my, such jubilant praise and glory to you, Father, for that. We think of our safety that you brought us through another storm. We think of Woody and Phil. Keep your hand upon them. And Miss Velma. And Jerry and Linda's cousin Wanda. They are all battling that disease of cancer. Father, we just ask that you would be in the midst. Father, we pray for salvation for our families. Yes, Father. We want to be able to know that one day we will all meet together again in glory. Father, now we just want to give thanks and gratitude for Pastor Sam and Sister Jackie that come graciously to spread your word and give us a message to feed our souls. Father, we just ask a special blessing upon Pastor Sam, for we know he's studied and he's meditated throughout the week. Father, as he stands behind this sacred desk, you strengthen him, and may your words flow freely. And Father, help us to partake in the lesson, that we would store some of the treasures that he's going to tell us about in our hearts and our minds. Father, now we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and we ask in your precious prayer, as we all recite it together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. First and third Tuesday at 7. Yes. It'll be this Tuesday. Yeah. I didn't either. Is it on the bulletin? No. But yes, this Tuesday at 7. Number 387.
I am the pain, only and great.
I had something, I had wrote down about Love Feast. Let's be in prayer this evening's service as well. Okay, the scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. For I received the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, and whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Amen. Now we will turn it over to Pastor Sam.
Thanks, Debbie. It's always good to be here with you folks. We love the folks here, get to know you a lot better and what's going on. And after church today, Brother Bob has encouraged people to stay and help. And my wife and I are taking off rather quickly. Maybe we should explain. We have another church service to attend. 12:30 this afternoon.
Wow.
A church east of Hanover is having a Bless the Bike service. Our son is chaplain of his motorcycle club in Anne Arundel County. They call me Reverend Morris. They call him Rev Morris. So they're having that service. My advantage, I might take the hearing aids out. I looked on MapQuest because the address is Hanover. I think it's out in the country, which I assume is a good thing. If you're going to have a lot of motorcycles, maybe being out in the country is a good time. So we're going to see what happens between here and east of Hanover. And the road next to it is Pamadiva Road. And I went to Pamadiva Camp many years ago. So after that, we're going to do a little scouting over York County to see where Pamadiva is still out there in the boondocks of York County. And trust the Lord to bless richly. The Lord has given Steve a good opportunity with his motorcycle club.
On a motorcycle?
I've been on a motorcycle one time and lost my heel going around a turn, and that's been the last time I've been on one. So we'll give them a cheer from the distance, but I don't, at this point, plan to get on the motorcycle. But we'll see what blessing of the bikes means. It's now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you that you have given us salvation. Thank you, you've given us the Bible. Thank you, you've given us Christian friends and churches. We pray now you'll bless us. We spend time in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking at the importance of preparing our hearts. We're going to prepare today for the Lord's table, the love feast, feet washing, tables being changed, food being prepared. But how about our hearts? So we're going to deal with that. In verses 23 to 25, we're going to deal with the elements. And I assume Billy Horton tonight will deal with those a little more. What that bread means, the body of Jesus. That cup means the blood of Jesus. We also call that communion. So we take that, we are saying, I'm in communion with the Lord. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Have you talked about it? Suppose a husband and wife say, we never argue because we never talk. Well, that's not real good communication, is it? And so we're telling the Lord we're in fellowship with you, and we want to make sure that is really true. Also, something that I'm concerned about, in the Lord's table, you are a participant. Right now, you're a spectator. A participant partakes. Jesus said, take, eat. He didn't say, take, watch. And I'm trying to be smart about it. But we participate. I know that the bread's little and the cup is little, but it represents our participation with Christ. When that elements go into our body, we're telling people Christ is in our body. If it's not, serious examination we're going to look at in just a little bit. It means we're walking in fellowship with the Lord. Then in verse 26, I won't deal with the first verses because Billy will do that tonight with the elements. But in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup of participation, you to show the Lord's death till he come. Expectation, not only elements, expectation. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, present tense, you to show the Lord's death, past, till he come, future. Past, present, future. I was thinking about this, and I assume no one has the answer. In the history of this church from day one, I wonder how many people have taken the Lord's table, the love feast, in this church. I assume hundreds of people. I would say probably 100 bakers, let alone all the rest of them. But all of those ones are saying, Jesus died. We're talking about that Good Friday. Till he come, that's called the rapture. Now, I don't know when Jesus is going to come, but I guarantee this. Tonight, you're going to be one love feast closer to it. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, we always have plans. That's it. I'm planning for a rev service this afternoon, I guess. But if Jesus wants to come, they can skip those bug cycles. We're not taking one to heaven with us. So we always have something planned. We have Good Friday planned. We have next Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, sunrise service being planned. And then something else, and something else. But the greatest event is Jesus is going to come. We show his death. The word we demonstrate that Jesus died and he's coming again. You can almost say the love feast is a rapture rehearsal. A rapture rehearsal. Tonight, you folks are going to gather together, right? The Bible tells us when Jesus comes, we're going to be caught up together. So we're just practicing the rapture. People say, what's the love feast? Yourself, it's a rapture rehearsal. They might say, what's a rapture rehearsal? If you know Jesus, you should be expecting him to come at any time. So we have this coming of the Lord. But I want to start then in verses 27 and 28. The theme of my message today is examination. What should we do about this? Examination. Why do we have exams? Why do we want to examine ourselves? Well, I'm going to look at it from a physical standpoint, a medical standpoint. How many of you, when you go to a dentist, they take x-rays? An x-ray is an exam. Is it simply? They charge you for it, don't they? All they want is money. You know why they take an x-ray? They want to see where your cavities are. My first point, Leo, I'm getting to it just a little bit. We examine because there's danger. Danger, you have cavities in your teeth. You can delay, but that cavity is eventually going to cause a toothache. Now, what are you going to do? Well, the dentist is going to say, you should have come in before. You didn't come. So there's an exam when you went to the doctor. About 25 years ago, I began to lose my voice and had laryngitis. After about a month of laryngitis, my wife says, you need to go to a doctor. So, what? Not laryngitis. She said, you've had it for a month. And, you know, when your wife gets on your case, you might as well go. So I eventually went to the doctor, and you know what they do. They give you that form. They ask you more questions than Solomon could answer. One of the questions was, reason for your visit. Well, I've been delinquent, but I didn't want to be a liar. So I actually put on there, my wife made me come. True, isn't it? So the doctor put a scope down and saw something was growing on my vocal cord. Operated, took it off, gave me recovery. The recovery didn't work at all. Went back. It was growing back. He said, you need to go to a surgeon in George Washington University Hospital. So I went down there, and every 10 days they'd put a scope down, take a picture. Whatever was on my vocal cord was growing. I mean, it was really growing. And I thought, you know, if they don't do anything, I'll suffocate to death in a year. It'll close my throat. So the doctor then went down and took out a piece of it and did a biopsy. And he called me, and I never will forget the call. He said, Mr. Myers, I've got good news. You have treatable cancer. Treatable cancer. I had the type of cancer that radiation works on. He said, Dr. Levine in College Park Oncology is ready for you. 25 years ago. I still have, my only tattoo is a medical tattoo that that machine lined up with. And today I'm here because I had an exam about my throat. 5 years later, I had a physical with the doctor, and when the physical was all finished, he said, Mr. Marks, is there any kind of other test you think you ought to have? Well, I'm going to tell you, you think, boy, that guy's a glutton for punishment. I said, I've never had a colonoscopy. You got to be kidding. You got to be serious. We discussed why do you think you should have a colonoscopy? Because my dad died of carcinoma of the stomach, an excruciating pain. So much morphine, it damaged his brain and his stomach. One of my great-great-grandfathers, David Levi Staley, his obituary said he died with a growth inside. And I wonder, 100 years ago, is that how you would describe a tumor in your stomach? And so I didn't want to have to go through all that. My dad was a strong man, but he got down so weak he couldn't walk to the bar and up the couch. And so died with great pain, and I wanted to avoid that. So they scheduled a surgery. They took out part of my colon, which makes me now a semicolon. At least it's not a question mark. Maybe some of you might even do that. I don't know. And so when they took the colon out, that part of my stomach out, and they did a biopsy, the doctor came back in and said the cancer had not spread beyond your colon. The reason why they operated, they couldn't tell. The doctor said it may not be the cancer in the colon. If that's gotten through and gotten on the organs, you'll die of cancer or other things. So they said, your colon was fine. Technically, you didn't need the operation. But that part of the colon, 95% of the time, that's where cancer comes. So if we didn't operate, you'd have 95% chance of getting cancer again. Now that you've had the operation, 5%. That was 20 years ago. As I'm standing here today, you think I'm happier with 5% than 95%? Why? Because I had a test. So if it's important physically, it should be important spiritually as well when we come to the Lord's table. And that's my first reason why we should have these tests, is the danger that's there. And we begin to read in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That word guilty means deserving punishment. So we want to search our hearts, make sure what we say. And in the age in which we live, it's kind of hard to be genuine. So phonies are on every side. It's easy to coast. It's easy to just kind of go along with the flow. Where's the flow going? Before I go with the flow, I don't know, where's the flow going? And so there's this thing of unfit, unsuitable, coming short of God's standard. And it says we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's not thinking of all of the feelings we have in our body. We've all had toothache, headache, knee, back. But I don't really believe the worst pain is feeling guilty. You just can't get it off your mind. You know God's got your number. And to feel guilty is a horrible thing. And the Bible does say, if we confess our sins, we'll get to that in just a little bit. So if you're feeling guilty, that might be good. You know what's bad? People do terrible things and don't feel guilty. We have these mass murderers that write a manifesto before they kill it. And they wanted to kill more people than they did. This one down in Tennessee. Apparently there were a couple of schools on the list. Can you imagine killing people and you're sad because you didn't kill more and they're not guilty about it? So this feeling of guilt can be there. Verse 29. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, rather serious. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, I don't think all illness is because of sin. But I think sometimes it's true. You don't want to pay attention to the Lord. God has a way of getting your attention. Your energy's gone. Now, it's about time we get serious about these things. So there is a danger. Something could be in our hearts that's not right with the Lord. And so we examine ourselves. Now, verse 28. But let a man examine himself. That means put to the test. Examine your heart. Is this right? Is this what God wants? Years ago, in one of our churches, we had an elder that was doing things that an elder should not do. And we had to remove him from being an elder. It is not a pleasant thing. Guess I'd rather have a colonoscopy than go through that again. But it had to be done. But my attitude was wrong. And I was stuck. What happens when you do the right thing with the wrong attitude? As long as you do the right things, it's like, ain't that good, yo-yo? Is the wrong attitude wrong? So I had to deal with this. How? My attitude was wrong. Action was right. And the Lord kept dealing with me. And it was too small to do anything about, but too big to get rid of. So I told my wife one day, I'm going to go and visit this man, and I'm going to confess my attitude was wrong. I told my wife, I want you to drive by the house in about an hour to see where my body is in the front yard, because it's going to be the deal, I tell him. I went into the house, began to apologize. Now, he said things about me that were wrong. He criticized the church. There were a lot of lies he told. I'm not going to deal with anything he did. My attitude was wrong. I'm dealing with that alone. I couldn't get through my apology. He interrupted me. His attitude was wrong. And we were able to restore because both of us confessed before the Lord and each other, and things were straightened out. And I thought later on, all that agony I went through, I didn't need to. We just get right with the Lord and one another. So we examine to see whether it's genuine. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is true. Prove all things. Same word, examine. Is this really genuine? Everything you hear on TV, even in religion, all religious programs on TV valid? All literature you get valid? Everything you hear about God valid? Everything you read in the newspaper valid? You test these things. You prove these things. So there's a demand. Why should we examine ourselves? God says, examine yourself. Then we have the details of the examination. Psalm 139. Here's what it says. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we're asking God to do the exams. When I was in seminary, especially in Greek class, we had one Greek teacher. The beginning of every class was 10 pop quiz, 10 questions. Very quick. What's the meaning of this word? What's the tense of this word? What does this word mean? And then we would grade our own papers. Didn't hand it in, we graded. Then he took the attendance. You did not say present. You gave a number. How many did you get right? One of the guys later became president of the college. He has a brain. Peter, 10. Arnold, 9. Hassie, her cousin, Jackie's cousin, 8. Mart, 4. What was that, Brother Mart? I didn't hear that. 4. I hated that, but it got me going. And then let me know on the final exam, he's going to do the grading. You can grade now, but I'm going to grade then. And you use red ink to do it. So God says, examine yourselves. That's the demand, the details. Psalm 119, verse 12. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You would point out somebody, maybe. But do you know people that you think they are on the short end of something? They got a bad attitude. One pastor friend, he had a short fuse. I don't really even have a fuse. I mean, he could get angry in a moment. Get a moment, and drop off a hat. One time we said to him, Bill, I think you ought to temper down that anger a little bit. He said, this is the way God made me. I didn't say anything more because he's already mad, but you know, I don't know if God made him that way or he just turned out that way. It's a secret fault. We don't see it. It's a blind spot. When driving down the road, you know where the blind spot is in your vehicle. Be careful. It can cause an accident there. Cleanse thou me from the secret faults. Psalm 51, 2 and 3. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. So we're confessing before the Lord. Now, deliverance from the faults. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When our son and daughter were growing up, they would have sibling position. Situation like any of you. And they get into a tussle about something. And I call it study chair. This is best chair of my study. This is Beth's chair. This is Steve's chair. So they were fussing about something. Bring them both down here. Okay. Each of you are going to get explain something. Beginning with the word I. Not he hit me. Start with I did, and then finish the sentence. Now the other part. So Beth would go first, then Steve could amend what she said, then Steve could say, and Beth could amend. And just tell them, just be honest, be forthright. Punishment won't be nearly as bad, and it's helped Steve and his company down there in D.C. because he worked with one company that was not honest with the customers, and Steve wouldn't put up with it. It was not the warehouse. We ordered the wrong part. And one of the customers dropped their account. And the boss went to Steve. See there? The people said, it's not Steve, it's the company. So being truthful, being honest before the Lord, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God wants to forgive us. God doesn't want to go around with guilt all the time. Then there's delight in the Lord. 1 Peter 1:7. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold, though it's tried with fire, that it might be found to praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord wants to forgive us. The Lord delights in us. The Lord delights when we quote a Bible verse, when we live for Him. When I was in public school, and especially Bible college, I was convinced those teachers did everything they could to flunk me. Why they had to ask that question? I even told one teacher, if you ask the right question, I get 100. He said, that's why I did this one. So I'm convinced they were just trying to flunk me. They wanted me to come back again. Graduated from Bible college. And then after pastoring in Southern Maryland, I came back and pastored my wife's church near the college. And then I began to teach in their adult education program. So I'm the one greeting. And I was amazed at how happy I was when a student got 100. How happy I was when a student paid attention. How happy I was to say, that student did great. And then our ministerial group right now, it looks like I'm the professor of the major prophets and the minor prophets of the Old Testament. So I'm teaching those. Last Monday, we had a Bible conference, and one of my students was the preacher. And he did a great job. I like that guy. He's a young guy, not even married. He did a great job. A month before, another student. So I'm seeing some of my students preaching. Because you think Frank is old. I'm actually older than he is. So we need to get some young blood in here. And I am encouraged to see young men that love the Lord. They're light to my soul. And then the last point as far as the reason why is discovery of the quality of our works. This word says examine yourselves. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 3:13. It says, the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. We're talking about the rapture of the church. But immediately after the rapture of the church, we have what's called the judgment seat of Christ, where all our works are judged. And it says here in this verse, the fire will try every man's work. That's the same verb that we have tonight, today. You examine your heart today, because someday you're going to stand before the Lord and He is going to examine. So this is like a quarterly quiz to get you ready for the final exam. Now in my teaching with Bibles, most of the time I'm teaching Bible survey. That is, I'm doing the book of Isaiah in 2 weeks. Well, you know that's flying pretty fast. And so what I do with every class I teach, I put in the syllabus the final exam questions. Because 66 chapters of Isaiah, nobody can remember 66 chapters. But you might remember 2 or 3 things. And that's another final exam. So every week, we just go down through what's going to be. And then when the final exam comes, no trick questions, exactly now. I want them to know if they study hard and they follow my syllabus, they'll do well on the final exam. I had one fellow that he never took any notes. He amened me, he cheered me on, but he never wrote down anything. He didn't take any notes, wasn't paying attention. And I thought, that guy is either the smartest guy I ever had or the dumbest. I don't know which. And we took his final exam. I could see blank after blank after blank after blank. Now, we were polite in school, so we didn't fail him. I just invited him back next year to learn more. So God wants us today to examine our hearts because someday I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account. For me, something that I take very seriously. It means every sermon I've ever preached. Someday I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account. Why did you do that? Did you do what I told you to do? You tell your children, you're going to quote something. You want it to be correct. So we are examining ourselves so that we stand before the Lord. Says, if any man's work abide, he receives a reward. And we'll deal with that some other time. But God wants us to examine today, because sometime he's going to get it. A lot better. Correct it now. Confess it to the Lord, and God will bless. Now, what are the results of doing all of this? I thought all this is in it. What should we do? Look at verse 28. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. If we have never done anything wrong, we want things. But we're going to straighten out. We're sinners saved by grace. None of us are perfect. Have you ever had people that point out a mistake at you, especially unsaved people? I'm convinced there are unsaved people that are watching me. One false step, and they say, it's still like that guy. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus died for all our sins. If you confess your sin, he will forgive you your sin. So we invite people to come. You've searched your heart. God's worked in your heart. It's self-examination. We're not examining you. You examine yourself. And you participate in the Lord's table. But I want to go on to verse 31 and 32 for closing. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we put a zip on the lip, then somebody else won't have to tell us, shut up. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If everyone checked their speedometer, you wouldn't need signs on US 15. Speed checked by radar. Of course, I've had an advantage. When I first got my driver's license, way before radar, I had a mother with good eyesight. Said, no, speed limit is 40. You're going 45. Samuel, your blinker light is on. Samuel this, Samuel that. She was always calling out my speed. Mechanical failure. Just reached up, turned the light out on the dashboard. Samuel, the light's out on your dashboard. Yeah, it looks like it is, Bob. Speed checked my mother. Now I've got a wife. Speed of the detour is 30. Right? So I don't need a radar. Got a wife and a mother. But it saved me some speed tickets. I'd rather for my wife to tell me it's 30 than the police. Don't you hate it when that cop stops you? He asks you a question. There's no way to answer it right. He'll say to you, what is the speed limit? You're stuck, right? If you don't know, he's going to say, I got a piece of paper, you're going to remember. If you say what the speed limit is, what's he going to say? Why were you going that speed? So there's no way you can win. Now with the Lord, he knows our hearts. He's saying, if you will judge yourself, you don't have to do it by others. But the last verse I want to deal with is verse 32, and I love this one. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. As hard as it may be for us to examine before the love feast tonight, think about those people. They're going to stand before the Lord, the great white throne judgment, and judgment comes on them. I don't want to be condemned with the world. I don't want to go along with the world. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? And tonight prevent a lot of things that the world is going to be condemned. They're going to give an account. Jesus today is our defense attorney. Over there, he'll be the judge. As far as you're concerned, I'd rather have Jesus as my defense attorney, who never lost a case, rather than the judge, who knows everything. Jesus does. He said, come, confess, and then partake of the Lord's table. May God help each of us to consider examining our own hearts for his glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks that we have the opportunity and the quietness of the church. And you know our own hearts better than anyone else does. And if we confess our sins, which we're doing, then you have forgiven us our sins, cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and then tonight, take and eat, take and drink, for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.
This prayer for hymn number 323, please stand if you're able.
Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion that we share tonight.